This is a lecture by L. Ron Hubbard given on the 29th of December, 1951. The title of this lecture is The Goal of Processing, The Ideal State of Man. This lecture is 60 minutes long. Reproduced by Golden Era Productions.
This next subject, what you're going to talk about now, is the, you could call it the goal of processing. In other words, what you're trying to do. This has something to do with the ideal state of man. Codification of an ideal state of man, highly ideal, with all of the meaning of ideal thrown in there, would be just the top band of this chart of attitudes. That's an ideal state. Of course, it's very, very impractical. Now we're taking ideal as opposed to practical. But as an individual approaches this ideal state, he also goes into a practical state. There's a sort of an automatic shift into an extroversion as he goes up toward this ideal state, and he'll stay in a state of action. Life's sort of taking care of that. You try to get him up the tone scale to this ideal state. He's got lots of circuits and he's pretty bogged and a lot of other things. You can beat into his skull. Survival is your right. Infinite survival is your goal. Now, you understand that, yes. Now, responsibility, full responsibility, is an ideal state. Now, you understand that. You are fully responsible now, aren't you? Yes. All right. I guess we got you there. Now, you are in a state of beingness, aren't you? A complete state of beingness. You understand that? Yes. All right. You are in that state, aren't you? Yes. You cause everything, don't you? Yes. All right. You're willing to accept the fact that you cause everything. You don't desire not to be a cause on anything, do you? Well, this business about murdering little kids, I don't... Well, now, wait a minute now. You realize that you cause everything and you... Yes. Now, you understand that? Yes. Okay. You're in good shape. Get thee hence. That would be an educational level of doing this. You're going to find a lot of preclears that are suddenly going to grab off at about 1.5 or something like that and say, well, I'm self-determined now. Now, actually, the attributes of self-determinism are identical with the attributes of theta. All the way up the line, no motion. But if you really boost somebody up this tone scale, you work them up the tone scale, they're going to suddenly fly out of your hand someplace along the line. Not out of orneriness or blame or something of the sort. They're just going to get very active. Doesn't matter what they get active in. They get very active. Well, they hit somewhere along their tolerance, randomity, and so forth. They're not introverted anymore. They extrovert. In other words, available energy is being applied to the world and people around them rather than being applied to the past or even to any great degree, present. They do a lot of future planning, a lot of action. Every effort is into the future. You understand that? All right. Let's take this business of survival. Now, it may be that an individual can say to himself, well, I'm going to survive forever and lay in a postulate of that character and go on and do so. Well, some reason or other. Every once in a while, somebody in the past has walked into a monastery or gotten interested in engineering design or begun to raise flowers and sort of automatically does it. Hey, by the way, you pick up a florist guide. These fellows are always in the future. They always want to see what's growing. They always want to see what's going to happen to these plants tomorrow. They've got a couple of new breeds coming along, and they're working out there in the slush and rain and into the hot, hot house and out into the cold atmosphere all winter long. And you'd say, well, boy, these guys would be in horrible condition. No, they're not. You pick up an old florist guide, and it tells you the obituary in it. Smith, J., automobile wreck, age 96. And that's about the way those ages run, by the way. Those ages run from 90 to about 110. Really wonderful. Because their environment says future. And, of course, their environment is actually full of life. They are growing things. Their activity is very constructive. Now, you go into a maternity ward, you'd expect a maternity ward under modern uses and so on to be a little bit grim here and there. You go into a real big maternity ward. There is one. I've forgotten what floor it is. I think it's the seventh floor of the Bethesda Naval Hospital. Now, just why the Navy has to have a maternity ward is beside the point. But it does have one, and it's an enormous ward. And all the senators' wives and congressmen's wives and admirals' wives and seamen second class's wives, they all come out there and get babies born. Somebody gets on the second floor, some nurse, type seventh floor. You'd know it was the seventh floor. She's beaming. You know, smile, energy, enthusiasm. It wasn't that it was well managed. It wasn't anything else, except here's new life. They're dealing exclusively in futures. Utterly, completely in physical, living futures. There they are. You see the little kid suddenly appear in the maternity room, I mean in the child's ward behind the glass and so on, and there the kids are, and 3 or 4 days go by, and the kid's head shape's getting a lot better, and fathers are nervous, and that's something to be joked about, and the mothers come out of it, and they're glad to see the kid most of the time. And the doctors, the interns, the nurses that work on this floor are just up in the clouds all the time. It's a very cheerful thing, walk through the corridors on that floor. Something there, you see. That is action in the physical universe having to do with futures. And that is an ideal state of mind. It reflects itself in being very healthy and so forth. Now, we talk about an ideal state of being. A person, to some degree, if he's in a happy state of mind, is right along that band. He's plotting into futures. He's working with futures. He's in action. He's traveling at a high level of motion. There isn't very much in his environment will block him, oddly enough. Nothing much happens to him because he computes very easily on what is going to happen. He isn't nervous about it. His computations are quite correct. We're a little bit out of luck in Dianetics to this degree. That, at least at this time, in order to make people progress into the future, we have to handle a lot of past. We very often fail some individual. We try to do something for him, and we don't do it. And every once in a while, and we blame ourselves for it. And we get all squirreled up. Bad business, very bad business. It's something that an auditor should safeguard against. But the funny part of it is that all he's got to do is keep himself up there at a rather high level of motion. He can fail all over the place for quite a period of time before he has to be put back up there again. Remember, he has to be put back up there again. Theoretically, he can reach that level and not be driven down from it again. And no doubt this is the case, particularly if you reviewed his whole lifetime and got it squared around. But how do we go about, then, both securing ourselves as auditors and securing the preclear into some action state of being? Motion. Handling of motion. Action. Even if you're sitting around plotting and thinking and wondering and scratching your head about this and that, you can still indulge in some action. It is actually action to straighten out a preclear. Now, there's one little question in Dianetics. Someday we'll get answered. Why do we have to handle any of a person's yesterday to make him look into tomorrow? That's an interesting question. Because we can see as we look down a person's life track that it's an awful lot of yesterday. And any time you take in trying to straighten out that yesterday is that much tomorrow that we haven't been plotting into. So it's interesting. Why should we have to handle yesterday? Now, when an individual, however, is incapable of handling himself to his fullest extent and is being handled by, to a marked degree, his environment, the only way we know at this time to straighten him out is to straighten out the reasons why he cannot handle his own memory. We keep the environment from handling him by making it difficult for the environment to handle his memory. Now, you see how this would be. It's an indirect approach. It should not be lost sight of that it is an indirect approach, since that would occlude a future worker in these lines from suddenly blasting through with a technique which had to do solely with now and tomorrow, and just did a yesterdayectomy on the preclear. Now, there is a mechanical means of doing yesterdayectomies. You see it all the time. The individual fails markedly and decides to be somebody else. He comes up on the other side as a valence shift. This was life's rather poor answer to how to go about this. He goes through these failure cycles and comes up as somebody else. Every once in a while, an individual changes his environment, changes his identity to some degree, and succeeds wonderfully and is very healthful as somebody else. Every once in a while, he doesn't succeed any time, though, to the degree that he should, because his yesterday will eventually catch up with him. Your manic depressive, historically, as well as hysterically, falls off from a manic saying, oh boy, oh gee, oh boy, oh great, fine, euphoria, great, great. And you say, what are you thinking about? Oh, I don't know. And they say, well, we're thinking these big thoughts and what thoughts? Well, we're just thinking of them. What are you questioning them for?
They want to put me in a depressive cycle. That's the tune of it.
They're not thinking. They're in an engram, actually, good mechanical engram. This is mechanical, as you read about in the first book. And there they are, and it's got 2 points on its curve. And point one says, oh boy, and the other point says, oh boy. Now, there's an emotional curve. So, anytime you run into this character, you're running into a very interesting setup, which we get when we examine a facsimile. Here is 20, or thereabouts. Here is 0. Here's 4. We take an individual who's here at about 2.5, and we start operating on him. We put some gas to his nose or something of the sort, and we start him down the line. And what do you know? He goes through a complete tone scale. He does from here, 3.5, down to practically 0, and there he is. Oh, that's great stuff. There's your emotional curve. It's the middle of every engram. There's every tone level below the level the preclear is chronically in every incident of unconsciousness. Here, we've gotten down, he's a little bit, this will probably happen sharply, he's a little bit, he may be starting into this thing at 1-1. But this operation actually starts at the moment when he hears he's going to be operated on. And he starts coming down the tone scale with the idea. And then when he's actually starting to go unconscious, he's probably down here around fear. And he'll do a fluctuation into anger. And then he'll slide on down off anger into fear. And he'll go down into grief. And he'll go down into apathy. And then he will gradually climb up out of this on the same levels. You do a cross-section on any engram, and you will find its emotional tone of that cross-section. An engram is not in a monotone. It's in a curve. You want to do a complete emotional curve on an engram, you get the emotion before, the depth emotion, and the last emotion of recovery. And by the way, that's a very interesting one, and you mustn't overlook it because it's relief. The guy hears that it's all over now, so he's in a state of relief. And you ask your preclear what he wants, and he'll very often tell you he wants relief. Well, where do you find relief? If you scan all the relief on the bank, you'll find him at the end of every accident and every operation just after it's over. And what kind of shape's he in? He's all bandaged up. He's sick at his stomach. He's this way and that. That's relief. So here you go. You run an emotional curve then, which goes down and up. And you start running this emotional curve down and up, down and up. You will actually start disconnecting engrams off this individual without running them. I'll go into that in a moment. But what's a manic depressive? Your manic depressive is an individual who starts in somewhere here, and then because of a phrase or an effort or a re-stimulation, no more and no less, climbs way up the tone scale someplace here. He way up someplace there. There's just a small peak. And he hits this peak and then dives off of it again and goes on with the operation. And that peak is very fragile. And it's a truism. It's been observed many times that a person stays on a manic less and less, and then the depressive more and more. That's because the emotional curve of failure does what? Now we're really talking about key-in, aren't we? Now we've got the answer to key-in. All right. Your key-in is just your continual failures, his drop of emotion, which is natural to existence, can all of a sudden tie up with one of these engrams. And if you give a person enough of these emotional curves, just in the analytical business of living, he will pick up more and more and more and more and more of these engrams. Until his whole bank is like that. And you see, we're not kicking out the window the first book. Or engrams. Or secondaries. They're still there. Only, doggone it, we have to know how to handle them a lot faster than we've ever known before. So let's know their upper strata of anatomy. We find out in the first place that emotion is the thing which latches them on so that I can hold on to them. The I can hold on to them by emotion. We find out we get the emotion off, we really start straightening things out. We find out quite often that one of these engrams has got effort surrounding its emotion, and that you really can't get to its emotion at all because it's too much effort on it. Well, you run the effort. All of a sudden, effort seems to be indicated. Running the thing, you run the effort for a moment, all of a sudden, emotion and thoughts come out. That's when you use effort processing. By golly, as soon as emotion starts to show up after using effort processing, why go on using effort? What you do at that point is start running emotional curves, and the darned incident will disconnect. Because what holds it to the case? Effort doesn't hold it to the case. Effort's just effort. Bing, bang, you get in your car, you slam the door, you put on the brakes, effort, miscalculation, you start to open a drawer, you yank, bang. You mean tell me this is aberry?
No, it's not.
This is just incident to living in a rather patched up society. It doesn't make drawers and doors so they handle easily. But that effort can remind an individual who is already well down the tone scale that he has been balked before. And the emotion which he starts to exhibit can all of a sudden start to tie onto some old engram, and there he goes. What's happening to him? All right, doing an analysis of this, we find something very, very simple is happening to him. He is failing to handle his own facsimiles. And that's all that's happening to him. He's not handling his own facsimiles. That's all that can happen to an individual, evidently, is his own facsimiles go out of his control. So our study is how to put these facsimiles back into his control or disconnect them so he can't handle them. So they just fly off someplace and that's the end of them. And that would be in a low tone scale case. That's what you'd do. You'd just chow these facsimiles out, and so he'd try to reach out, and he'd be reaching for thin air. Big joke on him. Now, you pick him up along the line, and you get him up to a point where he can do anything he wants with him. And that's the state you're trying to get him into. That's self-determinism. Self-determinism includes the handling of one's own memories. One cannot handle one's own memories. Then the environment can handle them for him. That's re-stimulation. Pretty low on the tone scale, this re-stimulation of the engram. It only happens to individuals who are being very thoroughly handled by their environment. Think of that for a minute. You start working on self-determinism, you'll get your individual going on up the tone scale at a heck of a rush. And he'll get up to a point where he can handle them, where he can really handle these things. Do anything he wants with him. This will mean you'll have him up to a point where a silly tune won't get into his head and start going round and round and round and round and round. Well, that's just a facsimile he's not handling. He wanted to be affected by the tune, so he's being affected by it. Now he doesn't know how to keep himself from being affected by it, so he can't lay it aside when he wants to. Most minds would be some file clerk sitting in this enormous central filing system. And this file clerk has been told, well, now I'm in charge of all these files. And there he sits. And the file drawers slide open. Packages start flying out of them. The whole block file on the subject of automobiles, it moved that away one day. And somebody dropped a steel curtain in between him and it. It's over there someplace, but he can't tell you much about automobiles. And he finally gets so he's just in a state of apathy. File clerks stop working, you know, when they get a guy way down the tone scale. He just sits there in apathy. The packages fly this way, and they go that way. Lines get connected this way and that way, and the files get scrambled, and a wind blows in through the window, and it mixes them all up. And he says, well, I guess that's just the way things are. The environment's handling me. That's the state an individual gets into. Now, how do you put him back into a state? Do you have to pick up every file, dust it off, find the proper filing place, and put it back in place? Well, God help us if we had to do that. That was actually, to some degree, what we were trying to do not too long ago. It's much too long a job, and I hate filing anyway. No, let's just fix up the file clerk so he could go to work and do it anyhow. Let's put personnel on the job. Let's get the guy into a situation where he can handle all of these things and then cut him loose. You'll find when you get him into a place where he can handle all of these things, he starts a rather progressive advance right on up the tone scale. Well, don't sit around and wait for him to advance. He'll go on up. But he'll walk along through life, and he'll see this, and it'll remind him of that, and it'll remind him of something else. And the first darn thing you know, you'll say, what the heck? Why was I ever worried about palm trees? Oh, yes, yes. And that's that. Boom. Gone. And he isn't even thinking about it. And one day, he's so doggone extroverted and so intense on this new project that you say, well, did you get it all straightened out? Did you get all what straightened out? Don't you remember auditing? Oh, yes, 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 sir. That was a good session. That was a good session. Best thing that ever happened. Thanks ever so much. Say, by the way, would you like to buy a block of stock in? This is very serious for an auditor because he comes up above the level eventually where he thinks he has to buy any license to survive. So you want to catch him as he goes by 1-1. And if you fail to, then give him the idea that he can grant licenses himself. Make a sub-licensee out of him. Both of those will work. Well, anyhow, you'd think offhand society would probably fly completely to pieces and everybody'd stop cooperating with everybody else, and it'd be entirely chaotic if everybody became completely, fully responsible and off on their own concerns. Maybe it will. But apparently, from what small indications we have, it doesn't. It just starts to work a lot smoother. And individuals in it become a lot healthier. Now, the main goal, then, has to do with this darn facsimile. And we could classify this as facsimile, comma, handling of, period. Your knowledge, then, which is under that heading, should be classified as very important. Facsimile, comma, handling of, period. Anything that comes under that classification is more important than facsimile, comma, erasing of. Facsimile, comma, reduction of. Much more important is handling of. By the pre-clear himself. Now you have to know how to handle people's facsimiles before he can handle them. Because he isn't handling his, and you as an auditor are the environment. You see? So you have to know how to handle his pre-clear. His pre-clears. Come to think about it, the funny part of it is you could probably process a person by processing all the people he was trying to process while he was busy growing up. What would you like to have reformed in so-and-so? Now, the handling of facsimile. First, you have to realize what a facsimile is. It is a recording through all perceptions of the environment, plus a recording of the thought, evaluation, and conclusion. Considering that one himself is part of his own environment. That's a facsimile. It's a motion picture, smelly, everything across the board. It's a wonderful motion picture, Technicolor and so forth. This would be a full facsimile. This is data. Now, once upon a time, we were overstressing the need of Sonic and Vizio and all the rest of this stuff. I don't know a person at 20 has any Sonic and Vizio. Write that down in your book. I don't know a person at 20 has Sonic and Vizio. How do you like that? Stunned. I can tell you this, that a person at 1-1 who has a tremendous amount of regret has a complete sonic dub-in track. I can tell you that, certainly. And I can tell you that if you take somebody at around 4 who is suddenly, he was carrying forward a life continuum for somebody else, he can shut off his sonic and visio and you can turn it back on again. But I don't know that you could persuade anybody. You know, it might be there. The facsimiles might be there, complete. But I don't know that you could persuade a person at 20 to look at them. So this would be the same thing as saying they aren't there. because you're never going to look at them. So it comes out to that old cockeyed argument, well, would there be a sound if a tree fell in the forest and a man wasn't there? You know, something dull like that. Because I've already clipped an individual up above the level where he stops doing anything with sonic vision. He's getting instantaneous computation, little data. So handling a facsimile also includes in what you select out of the facsimile and how you read facsimiles. I'd like to see somebody do a paper on that. I don't know yet. But I do know this, that you can select any part of a facsimile you want if you're really self-determined. You could select out its effort. You could select out its emotion. You could select out its thought patterns. You could select out its perceptives. Any of these things could be selected out. So I don't know that a person at 20 has any truck whatsoever with recalls as such. Now, I'm giving it to you bluntly. Maybe I'm up above a point where I rationalize. There's a point for you that if you're trying to rehabilitate somebody's sonic and visio as your goal in auditing, you're evidently going to keep them down along the line someplace where you could do it. It's no goal. I mean, it isn't worth it. This guy's going to know everything there is to know without recalling it laboriously, because recalls are not done on time. There is no time in a facsimile. There's a time tab, and it says August the 3rd, 1942, 2.01 a.m. He doesn't even read that. He just happens to know that that's the datum. If you ask him what time this happened, he could probably tell you, if he wasn't too interested in something else. Don't think that a person who has been rehabilitated is even going to be necessarily polite. Horrible. Now, a unit facsimile would be any consecutive related experience in motion and so forth. Actually, it would contain as many recordings or as many separate pictures as sight needs in order to produce motion. 75 to 125 pictures a second. But maybe this experience lasted for a week. Maybe somebody got married. Of course, at the end of the week, got divorced. Maybe somebody had an automobile accident. Maybe somebody gave him a piece of cake. Each one of these things would be a unit facsimile. It'd be a related experience. So you see how variable its definition could be. It's only variable in terms of subject and time. It's variable in subject and time. That's all. Related subject. When I was in college, now theoretically, lying there is a 4 or 6 year unit facsimile. See? There it is. This is the first one he presents. I was living in the South Dorm. This much facsimile. And I had a roommate. And one night, we went to see this girl. A little tiny facsimile we're talking about now. That's the way things get introduced. Big black. Small. Minute. That's the facsimile he wants to talk about. Now, your person who's being handled by the environment says, when I was in college, I forget what year it was. I had a roommate whose name was, one night, what was I talking about? Well, now he's not handling his facsimiles. You see? You want to get him up to the point where he handles them easily, swiftly, and well. And the only point that you'll be able to get him to is the point where he becomes self-determined about handling them. And he's going to fly out of your hands at that point. And you say, well, thank God, that's the end of that creature. That's what'll happen. You're not going to put anybody up at 20. You might put somebody at 3.5 or 4. But he'll go on up if he's going to go. If he isn't going to go, you can't put him up any further anyhow. So what? There are lots of preclears. You get him up above this band here, a 2.0, he's not going to murder anybody. He's not going to kill himself. He's not going to work active harm in the society. He's not going to buy the crime of omission, which we very often forget is a crime. You're running anybody that says, but I didn't say anything. I didn't have any part in the argument. It wasn't any fault of mine. Oh, yeah. That's the crime of omission. It's the failure to talk when they should have talked. It's the failure to do when they should have done. Because commission, action, looks so much bigger. Well, they won't drive somebody berserk that's around them by their inactivity, irresponsibility, letting things slide by the boards, doing this, be complete limp about that, and so forth. That's pretty bad. That's worse, by the way, than the other level, the higher level. And they aren't going to smash things and upset things and change everything haywire so everybody's going to be upset all the time. Destroy, in other words. They're not going to destroy things. You get them above this level, they start acting in a self-determined fashion. When they get up there around 4, maybe you can reach somebody at 5, maybe you could somebody to 6. But boy, by that time, nah, they're out of your hands. Very different from somebody going out of your hands because of inaccessibility below 2. Don't ever make the mistake of confusing these two. There's one nice test. Is he thinking? Can he think about things? And does he remember things well? The only reason a person forgets is because he doesn't want to remember. The only reason he doesn't want to remember is because it hurts him to remember. If it hurts him to remember, then he can't handle his facsimiles. Simple. So you just want to get him up to a point where he can handle all of his facsimiles, and that's all you're trying to do with this guy. All you're trying to do. Of course, he won't have any chronic somatics at that point. Because he could move in and out of a heart attack for induction into the army in a split instant. Twins see the doctor, heart going, brrr, murmur, murmur, murmur. Doctor says, oh, Jesus Christ. It's all right. Sorry, son. Poor fellow, he hasn't got long to live. Check it. Go outside. Pocket it, 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 pocket it. Now, don't get off into the feeling that because a person wasn't there when it happened, he didn't know about it. Because you and I know he did. Now, he can pick up both ends of an engram, both known, and they're space and time, aren't they? And if he's got that space and time spaced, he knows the content in between it must have been spaced, too. He can even handle an engram. And don't think he can't. Because you can go back along a guy's track and ask him, all right, now you've got this ear somatic. When did you first decide to have it? Never. I never decided to have it. Well, I'll think for a moment. What's the value of having this ear somatic? Oh, yeah. Something there. Well, do you remember what it is? No, but I just got a vague idea. Well, run some sympathy for a minute. Sympathy, sympathy, sympathy. Oh, yes, my aunt. She sure used to get upset when I got an earache. Well, do you remember turning it on? Well, I didn't turn it on automatically at first. No, what did happen? Well, I remember I put a bean in my ear and it swelled up and she was very sympathetic and we went down to the doctor's and he got it out. By golly, do you know after that, every once in a while I'd get this earache when I was around her. Yeah, she'd blow cigarette smoke in it. Yeah, she's dead now. Wonder if that's why I smoke cigarettes. See, the other just sort of drops out. Now, obviously there's some unconsciousness or something could be around such an incident. And, well, your computation is on it. A counter effort. A person goes unconscious down along the lower band here, he's in bad shape. Because he's not conscious to begin with, amount to anything. But this isn't any reason why he can't say, well, the years from 5 to 10, I wasn't very conscious. All right. That handles that facsimile. Interesting. Now, he can handle his facsimiles with thought. He can handle them with emotion. He can handle them in lots of ways. But he knows what he's doing. And although you may act as though you're fully responsible, if you go on carrying what he does with a facsimile, after you've got him up to a point where he can really handle this facsimile, why, you see, you're not being fully responsible at all. You're being way downscale on the thing. You're being very concerned. The guy you should be concerned with is the fellow who cannot handle his facsimiles. Bad memory, doesn't remember, slow reaction, takes him a long time to think. He hasn't got any time to do anything playing solitaire. All right. This is a rough case. Serious. Person says, well, I put all that way back. I don't think about that anymore. Yeah, it's way back, all right. So, all this depends on is a point of self-confidence. Now, perhaps this individual, by taking up the piano or by indulging in group therapy or some other thing, comes up fast enough so all of a sudden he starts to handle a few of his facsimiles. There you go. I mean, something has been done therapeutically. Doesn't matter how you get this individual to handle his facsimiles. That's what we want him to do, that's all. At first, you start out, he doesn't want to handle them. Most every case, you lay your hands on. And you just sort of have to hornswoggle him into it. And all of a sudden, he says to you very cockily one day, oh, well, I can remember that, and so forth. I got myself started in, I always remembered that, and he's going to town. You didn't catch him before he went past 1-1. Because he's going to be self-determined about the whole thing. Well, that's what you're doing to people. Now, this point of view is possible at this time because of the knowledge of postulate processing, the knowledge of effort processing, and the knowledge of emotional curves. This point of view on processing is now possible. But it is a faster and more advanced viewpoint than any of the past viewpoints we have had in Dianetics. You see, it's very distrustful of an individual to think that you have to knock out every bad memory he has. This is really saying to him, well, we have to fix you up so you poor guy, you can't handle your facsimiles anyhow. We just have to fix you up so no matter how you handle them, you can't get into trouble. Do you see that? Well, we didn't have much of other ways to go about it. Now we got this other techniques. Now we can start handling it on a faster basis. And that's why processing has gotten swifter. It's just been this shift of emphasis from fixing it up so that no matter what he did to his facsimiles, he couldn't get into trouble, to the point of fixing him up so he can handle his facsimiles no matter what happens. See? It lays the seriousness off the situation and the level of concern which you will feel. Therefore, your technique is shorter. And that's why it's shorter. Now, the unit facsimile is something that can afford a great deal of study to an awful lot of people for an awful long time. When you start looking over the genetic blueprint, to suddenly run slam-bang head-on into the genetic blueprint of the body, or its structural blueprint, or any other blueprint that you want to call it, and find out what its patterns of memory were that it caused it to be constructed that way, this would be, by the way, a major discovery in biology. If you want to play with this, you will be biologizing above any biologist alive today. Also, it tells you about evolution. There's data. There's a lot of data in there. But this is the data of what's in the facsimile, rather than can he handle it. Because a person's self-determinism can be advanced up to a point, evidently, where he can handle any facsimile back along the time. He doesn't have to even remember and recognize the thing. He can handle it. So it starts to move in on him. He knows exactly why it started to move on him. Does an automatic process, and it moves out. Bang. If he doesn't want it. But if you started biologizing, you'd want to know, wouldn't you? You want to know what was in this one, what was in that one, what was in another one, what was in another one. Monkey around, fool around with them, and examine them one way or the other. By the way, that's a very fascinating study. There's history. You can examine some history with this track, too. Doesn't always agree with the history books. Voltaire used to call history that Mississippi of lies. I've gotten enough checks off the line to realize that it's not all squirrel cagey. The reason you run into past bad incidents of that character, there's good reason why you do, is because there's so much regret on them. For some reason or other, people do not like to have a bottom static failure. There's something about dying. That poor clam. By the way, is anybody's jaws still sore because of that? Yeah. How about the gentleman from Phoenix? It's okay now, huh? I thought it'd fade away. Hey, I got another good one. Now, in all of this processing, if you have this as an end goal, you will be able to do a lot faster work with your preclear. Now, you say, now it takes several hours to run one grief charge off of a case. Well, now are we saying it takes me as the auditor to run several hours of grief off of this preclear? Now, it could be in three ways. We got this preclear up to a point where the running of the grief is incidental. Or we've got this preclear up to the point where he'll run his own grief. Or he's still slogging down along the bottom of the tone scale someplace where you have to sit there and say, yes, 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 yes. And then what did she say? And then what did he say? What did she say then? Who else was there? Yes, yes, indeed. Yeah, you can take hours at that. I guarantee you that you can spend over an hour running a grief charge off the case that way. But if you start sneaking up on a grief charge by running regret and blame and emotional curve and so forth, all of a sudden it's like a artillery shell exploding. If you run this stuff long enough, the guy will blow up. Or he'll simply come into a recognition of the whole thing, snap out of it, and pass right on over it, and he's no longer stuck there on the track and he can handle his facsimile. Doesn't much matter. Because a facsimile is not interior. It's not inside you. No, it's not. It isn't stored in any file card system in the back of your head. It's not energy enclosed in your cells. It doesn't have to be bled out of the cells in order to make the cells happier. I'd done insufficient work on this. It apparently was in the cells, but that was before we isolated the identity of the darn life static, found out it didn't have any wavelength. I'd like to know how the devil you can store anything which doesn't have any wavelength. Hard to do. Furthermore, how rough can a facsimile get? Well, I got a hole in my face up here that says it can get rough enough to kick a tooth out through the side of your head. Just a facsimile that you borrow and turn on full. Bang. Kids that are on the foundation remember the night I came down looking rather hangdog and announced this experiment. It actually had broken a tooth out sideways. I'd like you to show me a tooth which has residual energy in it sufficiently to break it out from the center that way. Completely aside from this point, all the cells of the body seem to change about every 7 years. Completely aside from this point, remember the clam? You don't tell me that that clam cell is still stored with physical universe energy. It's not. So you're handling a facsimile which is capable of regenerating on the physical universe and taking out of the physical universe the power it uses. But it's a regeneration process by which it uses the force residual in the universe in order to produce the forces which it has, but it can come in from the doggondest vector sources. Anybody been in the service? You ever stand in a vaccination line? Well, sometimes your corpsmen or your hospital boys are not too easy on that, and they go, stab, you know, and the guy goes, bang. Well, it's quite a joke. You can run a guy through that line, you can sit there and watch his arm, and if he's running well, and you'll see it dent where the needle hits. You'll see it dent all the way in. Anybody want to show me the muscles of the arm which can make it cave in to a point? That's nothing but fatty tissue that's caving in. Evidently, the unit facsimile influences the molecules, the atoms and molecules of physical structure. It's on that low a level of influence, at least that low a level of influence. It's a direct contact on atoms and molecules, and it can form them into any shape it wants. And it's no mystery how your preclear goes way back down the bank and gets into an incident in childhood and more or less gets stuck there, and you bring him up to present time and he keeps on looking like this. It's no mystery how you have somebody with a big swelling on his neck and you run the incident and you can watch the swelling go down. It's no mystery. Nothing much to it. But that's a facsimile. Now what you're trying to do is handle these darn things. Well, the reason why the facsimile cannot be handled is not because the individual did not handle it at the time. That is much too brief. It's because he later on used it and failed with it. Yeah, there's your key in situation. It doesn't matter how many Mack trucks you get run over with. Don't, however, take a Mack truck and run over somebody and fail. If you do, run it out. You get the idea. All right. It's the use of the facsimile. You could actually ask a pre-clear this question, get an interesting result. What is the first time you decided to use a bad facsimile or a destructive facsimile? What is the first time you decided to use it? Try it. You may get some very interesting results out of your pre-clear. Because that's basic on key-ins. Basic. I know what it is. But why don't you find out? Because it's very easy to locate. First time you decided to use a bad one. Now you decided to use a bad one in this life. Time your brother came up to you and said some nasty words and you hauled off and pasted your brother one. How come you pasted your brother one? What did you use for data to paste your brother one? You used an N-theta facsimile, didn't you? You pasted him one and Mama came out and said, you mustn't hit your brother anymore. Bang, bang, bang. That hangs the guy up with this facsimile of being pasting somebody and he can't do anything about it. And so he's got it. He went down an emotional curve. He went down to slow speed because he was interrupted in his action and he gets that facsimile from there on. Because what did he use in the first place? He used the facsimile of being himself struck in the jaw. He said, this is data. It's parked back there. He can handle that all right. So he was hit in the jaw. So what? But one day he says, I'm not fully responsible. Here's a nice facsimile of a good sock in the jaw. Bow! Now, you see, he's being the counter effort. He's the winning valence at this point. He uses it in that winning valence. He's the counter effort. He hits his brother in the jaw, and somebody comes along and says, meow. Down tone scale, he's got to swivel and be the effort, not the counter efforts, so he gets the sock in the jaw. Why did somebody stop him? Because they wanted him socked in the jaw. People do this instinctively. Now, do you see the mechanism of the first thing I was talking about in the beginning of this thing? When you drop an individual down the tone scale, you get them down below speed. It's even more exact than that. You throw them over to where they become the recipient of the counter effort. This individual has worked and worked and worked in order to get up this preclear from this engram. And a little bit later, somebody comes along and tells him he failed at it, or the preclear tells him he failed at it. What's he been using for data? While he's working on the preclear, he may be fool enough to pick up a facsimile over here that is almost identical to what's happened to this preclear. He's got this, and he's examining it. It goes this way. It goes round and round, and it comes out there. Oh, yes, what's the next step? Yes, and then what happens? He's being the counter effort. He's forcing the preclear to run an incident. But that's the incident that he is using, and he's the counter effort in this incident. Now he's using this, and all of a sudden, the preclear says, well, I know you processed me for 8 hours, but I still have pogo stickitis. That's a disease that makes an individual go out of the way. And the second he fails, he goes down tone, because what it re-stimulates is an emotional drop of tone, see? And that emotional drop of tone is attendant to switching him into the counter, from the counter effort into the effort. So he gets bop. Whatever was happening to the preclear, the auditor had a tendency to pick up and use a facsimile in order to compare what was happening to the preclear, and he was a counter effort in that facsimile in order to force the preclear through it. Failure causes him to reverse and become, in his own facsimile, not in the preclear's, the recipient of the effort. So he picks up the somatic. Now, is that clear? And in a life continuum, he dreams up things for Grandpa, and he dreams up things for this and that, and he's fully responsible for life in general, and all of a sudden, he, emotional curve, he hears about a death or he witnesses one. Whew. Now, his first impulse is to be the counter effort and hold it back. Be the counter effort and hold it back. Did you ever see some little kid about to have an accident? You know what I talk of here in a second. This little kid is going up toward the table, and you can't reach him in time or something of the sort. And you pull back as the table or something of the sort. This is the same thing. You start to feed a little kid. I saw a little kid in a restaurant one day. It was a Howard Johnson's restaurant, and Mama was feeding a little kid, and everybody in the restaurant was looking over at that table. Well, of course, the little kid was too busy playing with spoons and things to eat. But Mama would extend the spoon to the kid, and the kid, and Mama would go. And the little kid would go. All right. Another spoonful. So forth. And I saw this going on, Mama going this way. I look around the restaurant, and the whole restaurant is doing it. They're all cause. They want this kid to eat. So it's this mechanism with which you're dealing. And there is how your life continuum happens, and there's how you resolve it. And there is also your goal in processing is just to render the individual capable of welching on some of his bets back in the past and getting in control of all of his facsimiles again. There'll be another talk tonight here at 8:00. Thank you very much.